The Federal Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, has outlined the next phase of a so-called Nature Positive Act. But look, before we look at that in some detail, I think we first need to understand what Nature Positive actually means, because without context, it's just a bit more Canberra jargon, isn't it? So put simply, when the government talks about Nature Positive, what they're pushing is legislation that demands a company whose project disturbs the environment be compelled to leave nature in a better position overall at the end of the day. But that patch of nature, as it were, doesn't have to be in situ. It can be equivalent habitat somewhere else. And if that can't be achieved, well, as the Fin Review makes clear, the company would then be required to compensate the government for the environmental damage that they've caused. Now, how such damage, as it were, is calculated, I'm not entirely sure. But in basic terms, Nature Positive is a net cost to business. But to be fair, the spirit of what it's trying to achieve is already baked into the business practice of a stack of mining and construction companies who do their best to rehabilitate land, either when they finish the mine or somewhere else as part of their, you know, corporate social governance responsibility. So this sort of stuff does already happen. So how's yesterday's announcement been received? Well, in two words, not well. The Coalition, as you'd expect, have labelled it anti-mining and anti-development. Meanwhile, the Greens say Plibersek has caved in to the mining industry. So on the one hand, it's anti-mining. According to another mob, it's pro-mining simultaneously. Quite a feat. Greenpeace and the Australian Conservation Foundation both worry the newly announced EPA at the centre of all of this won't be independent enough. The man who in many respects is the catalyst for the government's plan, the former ACCC chair, Graeme Samuel, he's a bit more circumspect, saying that the government is right to take its time in implementing what were a suite of recommendations in this space. And you see, Samuel handed over no fewer than 38 recommendations, only a handful of those of which have thus far been activated by the government. And essentially, the big announcement yesterday of an EPA, an Environmental Protection Agency, in Plibersek's words, a tough cop on the beat. Well, that was just the second of three significant elements to this Nature Positive Act. The final element, well, that's yet to come. And it's the big one, a complete overhaul of the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. In other words, the law in this space. Now, Plibersek had previously said that mammoth task would be done by the end of 2023. Well, here we are midway through 2024. It's not done. It's now on the never-never. Mind you, the current act, which many say is just gobbledygook, runs to something like 1,500 pages. So as you can see, it's a big task. So what do we know about this EPA, the centrepiece of the announcement yesterday? Well, it's being marketed as a green cop on the beat. It will have the powers to issue stop work orders and even leverage penalties for environmental law breaches up to $780 million. I mean, it's big stick kind of stuff. Contentiously, the EPA will also have a decision-making function over proposed developments. Now, the minister will retain the right to override those decisions, and that's the bit that's got the environmentalists upset. They say, well, it's not truly independent because Tanya Plibersek can, you know, be the emperor and do the thumbs up, thumbs down over the top of the decision of the EPA. However, if our recent COVID experience is any guide, I don't think the environmentalists have to worry too much because, you see, in that case, in the case of COVID, premiers and health ministers also retained the right to overrule the suggestions from unelected health bureaucrats, but on almost every occasion they refused to do so. The health advice, it seems, rarely took broader considerations into account, such as the impact on the economy. That was, of course, the job of elected politicians, but they squibbed it. Time and time again, they just squibbed it. So if Plibersek is to avoid a similar outcome with the EPA, she may have to intervene more often than she'd like. Let's see. The reality is, even and every big project in this country, mining, industry, development, you know, whatever, will inevitably have an impact on the environment. That's just what happens. But that's true the world over. And as we've recently seen with the nickel industry, environmental regulations and green aspirations that are more ambitious than those in other countries, well, they can leave Australian industry exposed and vulnerable to cheaper foreign competitors. If too rigid, they can even kill off domestic operators, leaving the global marketplace reliant on heavily polluting, environmentally degrading contemporaries overseas. Hardly an optimal outcome. The key here is getting the balance right. Now, with the coalition saying she's gone too far, and the Greens saying she's not gone far enough, perhaps Plibersek has struck the right balance. Only time will tell. But as I've said, despite all the headlines yesterday, the big one's yet to come with the rework of the Act. Now, Tanya Plibersek's heart, her heart, will no doubt tell her to cave into the demands of the environmentalists. Hopefully her head will urge moderation.